You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. I'm in for Adora Udoji today. Reminder that we are looking for your quick take on any sort of major event or global event. President Bush was able to sum up the crisis on Wall Street by saying simply, "Wall Street got drunk." Well, we'd like to know how you would sum up some major events. So go to 877-8-MY-TAKE or go online, mytakeatthetakeaway.org. Well, John, you can say this about J. Edgar Hoover. He was very, very clear about the mission statement of the FBI.
We must not for a moment lose sight of our goal to teach the criminal that regardless of his subterfuges, his squirming, his twisting and slimy wriggling, he cannot escape the one inexorable rule of law enforcement. You can't get away with it.
Was he wearing a dress when he said that?
You know, I confess that I've always wondered that. Squirming, twisty, slimy. Well, here's one thing you can't get away with. You can't get away from the FBI's 100th birthday. It happens tomorrow. And these days, the most wanted man at the Bureau, okay, couldn't resist that, is its lone historian, Dr. John Fox. He joins us from Washington. Dr. Fox, the beginnings
of... Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. The beginnings of the FBI were actually rather humble. How many men were gathered?
In the beginning, it was only 34. It was an experiment in light of a recent law that Congress had passed saying that the Secret Service could not loan out detectives to the rest of the federal government. It put the Attorney General in a real bind.
So, in other words, it actually began with the interdepartmental squabbling.
Well, I don't know about interdepartmental, but certainly legislative and executive.
And the connection to Bonaparte, I was fascinated to hear this.
Well, Charles Bonaparte was the grandnephew of Napoleon. A little ironic, perhaps, you know, French dictator, U.S. civil servant. But the Bonaparte family in Baltimore had been there for many generations, and apparently there was some kind of squabble back in Napoleon's day that led to them coming to America.
Now, probably the most florid part of the FBI history was the gangster era. That was also around the time that Congress got around to officially recognizing it as the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Tell me, how fair is it to say that gangsters actually made the FBI what they are?
Well, in many ways, it's very fair. Really, the FBI became known as a law enforcement organization in the 1930s. Prior to that, they were largely unknown. They had very little public exposure, in a sense. Part of it was there were very few federal criminal laws to investigate. Part of it was the crime of the 1920s was prohibition, and that was a Treasury Department responsibility.
Hey, and of course, one of the most famous cases, of course, would be John Dillinger. Listen to this newsreel from 1934.
John Dillinger is dead, trapped at last, and shot down in his tracks as he emerged from this motion picture theater here in Chicago. Tipped off to the gangsters' movements by a woman, federal agents surrounded the theater with a ring of steel, blue steel, and itching trigger fingers. He tried to draw his gun, but three bullets fired simultaneously ended his notorious career.
Why don't we have news like that anymore?
Right. Brevity
I don't
is not
know,
a feature.
Now, it was certainly colorful.
Now, Dr. Fox, what artifacts from that time does the Bureau keep? What have you stumbled over?
Wait. Before we leave Dillinger,
Yeah. Is
it true what they say about Dillinger, Dr. Fox?
Probably not if I'm thinking of what you're thinking.
All right, yeah, and you are, and we don't need to go there. Okay, continue.
You just had to bring that in, didn't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
As for artifacts, actually, we do have some, and they're on display in D.C. at the moment over at the Newseum. We've got the hat that Dillinger was wearing the night he was killed, his glasses, the gun he was carrying, and we have some other artifacts from his gang and from others of the era.
Well, what did you stumble over most recently?
Well, that was the gun that Dillinger was carrying the night he was killed. It had been a part of our tour for decades. And in the changing of the tour and closing of it, it had gotten misplaced. And we were looking for other artifacts, and I found it in a box of miscellaneous guns.
That's great. I mean, you could have a real tag sale there at the federal government if you can find stuff like that just by looking through boxes. You know, I'm wondering if the heroic kind of mythology, and it's fascinating and irresistible, of the FBI of the J. Edgar Hoover era gets tainted or tarnished in some way with all of the sort of rethinking of the FBI's mission post 9/11.
I don't know if it, I certainly wouldn't say it was tainted in any way, because of course we have really from the beginning we have had responsibilities both for investigating crimes under the federal criminal law and investigating certain national security matters. At one time or another, our criminal mission comes to the forefront, like in the gangster era. Today, of course, it's national security. Counterterrorism, preventing terrorist attacks, is our top priority. And so throughout our history, we swing back and forth between those two things. Not that we don't do the other and continue to do it strongly, but that we have both missions at the same time.
Quickly, as we wrap this up, talk about interest in this birthday. Who have you heard from, both in this country and abroad?
There's been interest worldwide. Of course, all the major news venues, from TV to radio to Turner Classic Movies did an FBI movie night last night, to overseas, many European journalists, many others going as far as Korea and Asia, have been interested. Really, the FBI captures the imagination of the world over, and has done so since the 1930s.
All right. Dr. Fox, I want to thank you for joining us. That's Dr. Thank John you. Fox, the most wanted man these days with the 100th birthday of the FBI. He is its lone historian. We're going to turn now to our lone news anchor, Femi Okeh. Give us the headlines.
Hello there. Just coming up to 20 minutes to the hour.